Welcome to the Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Yudalid, the 14th Perek. In the last Perek, we saw a tragic story. David had many sons, of them Amnon and Avshalom. They were half-brothers. Avshalom had a sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon has raped Tamar. In retribution, Avshalom has Amnon murdered, as Amnon killed, and then Avshalom runs away to Geshur, to his maternal non-Jewish grandparents. And there he is in Geshur, and David HaMelech is very torn about what to do. On one hand, Amnon is his son, Avshalom is his son. That Avshalom killed Amnon is certainly wrong, but what Amnon did was also wrong, and there were many people who thought that what Avshalom did, taking revenge on Amnon, was the correct thing to do. And David HaMelech didn't know what to do. Do I bring Avshalom back? Do I not bring Avshalom back? And Yoav knew that David cannot allow himself to decide what to do with Avshalom, because whatever he's going to do is going to be subjective, and there's too many things pulling at him here. So what Yoav does is, in Pasuk Beis, in the second Pasuk, Yoav decides that if I find somebody else to come and present a story that is similar, let David HaMelech pass judgment on this similar story. And then nobody's going to be able to say that David was subjective here. And so he goes to a place, he calls from a place called Tekoa, Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, and he sends a message to Tekoa, Vayikach Misham Isha Chachama, and he takes from there a wise woman. Tekoa is far away in the Shevet and the Nachla of Ashur. Ashur, meaning that David is not going to know the story, he's not going to be able to check out the details of the story, it would make sense that he never heard about the story. And he tells this wise woman from Tekoa, Vayomer Eleha His Ablina, pretend that you are mourning, Vilivshina Bigde Evel, put on the clothing of mourning, Va'alta Suchi Shemen, and don't anoint yourself with oil, Vahayis Kiisha Ze Yamim Rabim Misabelis Almes, and you should be like this for many days, as if you are mourning for a dead person. We learn halachas of avelus from here, that a person who is a mourner should not change their clothing, should not wash themselves, and come to David HaMelech's house and tell him your tale. As a, by the way, we learn about the way David's house ran, that any random person could come in and tell her story, and that he'll listen to her lengthy tale with compassion and personal interest. Here is her story. She says she is a widow, actually widowed twice. It seems like there were two husbands, and they both died. And there were brothers from their respective fathers. Ulishivchascha shnei banim, your maidservant had two sons. Ve'yinatzu shnehem basada. This is in Pasuk Vav, the sixth Pasuk. Both of them were fighting in a field. Ve'ein matzil b'nehem. There was no one there to save them. There was no one there to try and calm them down. Ve'yaku ha'achad es ha'achad v'yames esay. And one of them killed the other. They were fighting with each other. One of them hit each other, and he killed him. In this story, there are three details which give us the reasons why the murderer, the one who killed his brother, shouldn't be killed himself. Firstly, they were out in the field, and therefore there were no witnesses. Secondly, no one tried to calm them down. And perhaps had someone tried, there wouldn't have been a murder. And thirdly, the brother who was killed was not totally innocent either. This was two brothers fighting with each other. The parallels are clear. Number one, there were no witnesses for the killing of Amnon. It's not clear even who's the one who killed him. I mean, we know Avshalom sent to kill, but it wasn't a murder that there were proper witnesses and warning. Number two, nobody tried to calm them down. Nobody tried to save them. This is an implied criticism to David HaMelech himself. You had time to try and appease Avshalom. You had time to try and reprimand Amnon, to punish Amnon, and you didn't do anything. And number three, it's not like Amnon was totally innocent here. After she lays her claim, she says that the children, the other sons, my other sons, the brothers, the siblings of the one who was killed, would like to kill the murderer, she says. And the problem is that the child who killed is the only son I have from that father. And if they destroy him, if they kill him, she's saying, first of all, they have ulterior motives. As we see from the words in Pasuk Zayin, number 7, the way they say it is, V'nashmida gam es hayorish, we're going to kill, let us kill the inheritor. Meaning it's not just that they want justice, they also want to get rid of a claimant to the Yerusha, to the inheritance here. So that's one problem here. And also, v'chibu es gachalti asher nishara, they will destroy, they will extinguish my coal, the only embers that I have left of that husband. Levilti sim liishi shem ushe'eris al pnei ha'adama. If they destroy him, if they kill that son, then that husband will not have a shem ushe'eris. A shem is a spiritual remnant. Ushe'eris is a physical remnant. There will be nothing left for him, from him, al pnei ha'adama. She says, I'm not just coming to beg for mercy for my son who murdered his brother. I'm also coming because it's the only memory I have of my dead husband. This whole story is a little fantastical. The details don't make so much sense. And it's interesting that David fell for it. There are a few reasons given why David didn't think about the parallels here and understand that she was trying to set him up. One reason, I guess the main reason throughout this whole story, is that this is part of the punishment of David HaMelech for the story of David and Bathsheba. After that, when Nathan HaNavi came to him, as we described, he said that he has to pay back four times. David passed that judgment on himself. And this is the setting the ground for the revolt of Avshalom, which is coming. And therefore, David had to fall for it. It's part of the grand plan. Another very touching reason is that David, like all leaders, all of our real leaders, when he was listening to her tale, was just hearing the story of a poor widow who's coming to talk to him. And he was engrossed in the story, in the tsar, in the pain. And he wasn't thinking about himself, and he wasn't trying to figure out, is this real or is this not real? When a person is coming and telling her story, he was giving her the full concentration and the full, his full head and his full heart. And therefore, he wasn't thinking about himself at all. And he tells her, Vayomer HaMelech el HaIsha, Lechi leveseich v'ani atzave alayach. Go home, and I'm going to do my investigations to see if the story is like you're saying, and if it was in the heat of the battle, or was there something premeditated here. Go home, I will find out what's going on, and I'll let you know what to do. And she's not having this. Pasuk test. V'taymer HaIsha tekayis el HaMelech. She says to the king, Alay adini HaMelech ha'avein v'al beis avi. The sin will be on me and on my father's house. And you, the king, will stay clean. And what she's saying to him is, don't send me away. If you send me away, then he might die by the time you figure out the story. If you say that he is innocent, and really he's not innocent and deserves to be killed, I will take the blame for that. You will not have any reason to be guilty for this. It's not, this is my private story and I'm a private individual. You don't have to worry about it. Just say that you're going to protect him. And she continues. And it seems like he agrees and he reassures her and perhaps even appoints somebody else to watch her son to make sure that nothing happens. And he just calms her down and he tells her it's going to be okay. And she continues to ask for more. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatimer. And she says, Yiskar na ha-melech es Hashem alaykecha. Remember the king Hashem, your God. She's asking, according to the Radak, for a shvua, for a promise. Please promise me. Hashem doesn't want more spilled blood. Remember Hashem and give me a promise. And then, after he does, and reassures her and says that her son can live, and he's paskening that the son can live, then she tells him that actually she was making up the whole thing. And she says to him in Pasuk Yud Gimel 13, V'taymer ha'isha, V'lama chashavta kazais al am elekim? How could you even think that something like this would happen amongst the nation of Hashem? Brothers killing brothers, other brothers want to kill their brothers. You really think that this is what's going on? You could really suspect that your Jewish nation is acting in such a way? But, umidaber ha-melech ha-davar hazeh, by saying this thing, ka'ashem, you have proven yourself to be guilty. Levilti yashiv ha-melech es nitchai, because you also have somebody that you pushed away. And you are holding him guilty of murder. And that's why you pushed him away. And if you are saying that my son shouldn't be killed, then Avshalom shouldn't be killed either. And you should bring him back. And she continues in Pasuk Yudalit, and this is also a complicated Pasuk, which I don't really have time to go into, but if we did have time, we would see so much about the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries out his justice. Ki mais namus, we will all die, she says to him. Wouldn't it be tragic if you died before seeing Avshalom again, or if Avshalom died before he could see you again? V'chamayim hanigrim arza asher le'yasefu. Again, many ways to explain this, but it's like water that is spilled on the floor that cannot be gathered up, meaning if you don't bring him back and he dies, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about that. V'layisa alekim nefesh. Don't think that Hashem will just forgive and forget. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chashav machashavais. He is one who thinks many thoughts and he makes many plans. Levilti yidach mimenu nidach. Nobody gets pushed away. And again, what she is saying is that the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real. It's there. It is sometimes complicated. It's sometimes complex. It sometimes takes a long time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pull things together so that everybody gets the justice that is deserved for them. David, you don't have to worry about giving judgment to Avshalom for what he did. It's clear that Avshalom is not chayev misa in the hands of Beis Din because there's no witnesses and there's no warning and you don't have to kill him and you don't have to punish him. But you don't have to worry that this judgment is not going to happen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping track of every single thing. There is a God in the world and sometimes we don't see the justice. We don't understand how it's playing out. But it happens, and you can bring Avshalom back. In Pasuk Tesvav, she apologizes for tricking him and for telling this story, this tale. And the king just wants to know one thing in Pasuk Yudches, and he asks her. He says, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't deny anything. Al na techachadi mimeni davar asher anochi she'el eisach. Don't deny anything that I'm asking you. And what he's asking her is, was this Yoav? Was it Yoav who put you up to it? Because Yoav was the head of the Sanhedrin. And if it's really Yoav, who's the spiritual leader, as well as the leader of the war, of the army, it would give her words more legitimacy. Then I can take your words into account even more. And in Pasuk Yotes 19, she acknowledges, Ki avdecha Yoav hu tzivani. It was your servant Yoav who commanded me. And he put in the mouth of your maidservant all these words. It's true. It was Yoav, but you should know it was your servant Yoav. He was doing it for the right reasons. He just wants to serve you. And Abarbanel says, I have no problem telling you it was him. We set it up in this way. He set it up in this way because he knew that he couldn't tell you directly, that you wouldn't be able to make this decision for all the reasons we said. And therefore he sent me. So David HaMelech hears, he's passed the judgment, and he sends Yoav to Geshur to bring Avshalom back. But when he brings him back, he says, bring him back from the Goyim. He doesn't have to be there. In Psukim Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet 23:24, you can bring him back to our land, to Eretz Yisrael, but I don't want to see him. He should yasev el beisai. He should take a circuitous route back to his house. He shouldn't even go on the main streets. He should go around because I don't want to see his face. Meaning he can come back from his grandparents out there, but I don't want to have to see him. And in Pasuk Kaf Hei, we take a detour. Uchav shalom lai haya ish yafeh b'chol Yisrael. And there was nobody as beautiful as Avshalom in the entire nation of Yisrael lahalal ma'id. His appearance was very praiseworthy. Mikaf raglai v'ad kat kadai lai haya baimum. From the sole of his feet until his head, there was nothing wrong with him. Everything was perfect. He was the most handsome person. This pasuk is sort of an introduction to the revolt of Avshalom because he held of himself very highly because of his physical appearance. It causes him to be a Baal Gaiva, to be very, very haughty. And in Pasuk Chavav 26, we will see it's not just his physical appearance, but there was something spiritual he was doing as well. He was a Nazir. A Nazir is a person who has taken upon himself a vow, a commitment to not to engage in any of the physical pleasures of the world. He does not drink wine. He does not cut his hair. A person could be a nazir for a specific period of time, or a person could be a nazir olam, a nazir forever. And even though a nazir doesn't cut his hair, a person who is a nazir olam, a nazir forever, cuts his hair when it gets too long. And we have a detail, the details here of this as well. Uvigalchoy es reishay, and when he would cut his hair, v'hayam miketz yamim liyamim asher yigalach ki kaved alav, when the hair got too heavy, and so it would have to be shaved off, and they would shave it, v'gilchay, they would shave it, v'shakal es sa'areishay, and they would measure the weight of the hair that came off. Masayim shekalim be'evan hamelach. It would weigh 200 shekels by royal weight, or perhaps that was the value of the hair. Either way, the nazirus added to his gaiva. He was so proud of himself that he took on himself to be nazir. Perhaps because when he was sent away, when he ran away to Geshur, it was there that he made this promise after being exposed to what Amnon did. And after being in Geshur, he made this promise that he was going to be a Nazir. That was his neder. That was the promise that he made. There's an inherent danger to becoming a Nazir. It's an amazing thing, and people are amazed by it, that a person could really cut himself off from all the physical pleasures of the world. The danger is that the Nazir himself is amazed by himself. Look what I've been able to do. Look what I've been able to accomplish. And this is what happens to Avshalom as well. Meaning, the fact is, he's a very handsome person. The fact is, he is a Nazir, and he holds of himself very, very highly. Then the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk of Zion 27 about his children. The sons don't get name, but his daughter does get a name in the Navi. Her name is Tamar. He is named after his sister so that she should feel good about herself. But this Pasuk is coming to tell us, you are a grown man with children. It's a time in people's lives where they stop caring so much about how they look, and still he's busy with his hair, and still he's busy with his appearance. Avshalom is back home. He is there where the story continues with Avshalom now. He is there for 2 years. He asks once, he asks twice, can I come home? Can I come home? And David doesn't let him come to see him. And so Avshalom burns Yoav's field to get his attention. He says, it's too hard for me to be here in Eretz Yisrael and not be able to see my father. The embarrassment is too much. At least out in Geshur, at least there wouldn't be the constant reminder that my father is unhappy with me. Also, this is a very public statement. If his father won't see him, it's pretty clear to everyone that his father doesn't think that he's going to be the next king. And so Yoav comes to the king, to David, and he asks him, please see your son again. And David HaMelech acquiesces. Vayikra el Avshalom. He calls to Avshalom. Vayavai el HaMelech. And he comes to the king. Vayishtachu lei apav arza. And he bows to him to the ground. Lifnei HaMelech. Before the king. Vayishak lei HaMelech l'Avshalom. And the king kisses Avshalom. This parak ends. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. The 33rd pasuk, with a reconciliation between David and Avshalom, which is of course going to lay the groundwork for the next parak. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui nishmot imahotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah Shalom, and Sarah Schenker, Allah Shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.